To Warn Radio. Warn Radio with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
One.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your correspondence and inquiries of the WIBR Warn Radio Network to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Twitter by using hashtag WatchmanIS216 and hashtag Warn Radio. On LinkedIn, use hashtag Watchman. And join us on USA.life and MeWe with hashtag Warn Radio. You can join us on Parler by using at Watchman DGS, and join us on Clout Club by at Warn Radio. You can listen to the Warn Radio Network through the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. And of course, you can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to listen to the shows as well. Please take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman. They're very important, they're inspired and anointed, and they apply to this day and age that we're living in. The first article is Father, Call No Man Your Father. Today we look at the word father and understand in the world there are those that for centuries have pushed deception. Also, no classification, conspiracy beyond the conspiracies. When it was said and done, Adam Weishaupt, a Bavarian professor, philosopher, had to flee his position at the University of Ingolstadt in Bavaria. The date was 1784, and his ideas, writings, and words were sedition. Thus he was banned. He had to flee. And don't miss this read, The American Civil War, Then and Now. The American Civil War, Then and Now is a featured post. Many years ago, I originally wrote about a second civil war coming to America. This was about a little after I wrote my first book, D-Day for America. I rewrote the article in 2017, and now we bring it back again to introduce the featured post. But men forget history or fail to heed its warnings. Today, in 2020, we have a divisive country with many more threats today than ever before. So you can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read those articles and more. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. Here we are again.
Yes, this is the last Wednesday of the month.
Well, you know,
of August.
I seen an article from our local, and they said temperatures are dipping in September.
Yeah, I'm kind of ready for a little cooler weather, but not cold weather.
So they are going to dip a little bit, but, you know, the bottom line in the whole fall thing, it's supposed to be hotter. I mean, that's what I seen, I don't know, a while ago.
Yeah, I thought we were supposed to have a...
above average.
Fall. Yes, I'm okay with that.
So at any rate, yeah, above average, that's okay. So at any rate, we're looking at India. Now, you know, there's a number of nonprofits like Samaritan's Purse, and there's a number of individual local nonprofits over there. I think that you need to have context to find them all. And there's Barnabas Aid, and there's quite a number of others that...
Who's MMN? MNN.
That is Mission News Online.
Oh, okay.
Actually, it's Mission Network News.
Okay.
I don't know why they needed the network in there, but at any rate... So in India, the monsoon season is wreaking havoc, and this is something that we're familiar with in the reporting of it, because a long time ago, and this was quite a while ago, when we were had some other native pastors and people and some other contacts throughout India. The monsoon season is one of the toughest things over there in India. And then, of course, after it hits and the villagers have nothing, most of the aid, I would say probably all of it, never gets to the Christians. Almost never. So the Christians are left without, and years ago they would just bluntly tell them, let your Christian friends around the world help you out. You don't get any of this because we're Hindus. I mean, that's the way it was. And of course, in the last 3 months over there, and if you look at the monsoon season, they say is from June to September. Now,
wow.
I don't know if that's the end of September, but you know, you look at September, then that means they only got one more month or part of a month. Then it'll be done. 900 people have been killed by floods and landslides. Of course, that's the problem when you get a lot of rain.
And it's made worse.
Yeah.
With the COVID.
Yeah.
Trying to get help to them.
Well, you know, you did that story last week about that person getting delivered. Remember that family?
Yeah.
And they were in their home, and they had been warned of the Lord to get out now. That's what they heard. The
and
boys.
They fled with just their Bibles. That's all. And as soon as they got out, the mudslide came crashing down. Killed some people in the village, wiped it out.
Yeah. According to this, 14,000 people have been displaced, which... I mean, this is the way it is, and that's unfortunate.
It is. That's horrible.
Be sure to remember them in your prayers, but remember to contact. Now, Mission Network is actually talking about Mission India, which we have talked about before, and all you have to do is Google Mission India, and you should be able to find it. They work with indigenous ministry partners. And they have certain programs they run. And this is pretty much, I mean, if you're going to run a mission, you know, to help those overseas, you need to work with indigenous ministries. That's a must.
And the explaining here, Mission India says, we gave them funds where they can locally resource relief kits that provide 4 weeks of food for a family of four. And so this is the thing, you know. This is how you can help, and you can do it. So we want to encourage you during this time. You know, there's a lot of trouble around the world, and not just in America. But see, these people have nothing. So remember, Mission Network News, India, and Mission India, and the fact that there's a lot of people dying. There's a lot of people that are totally displaced. And of course, you know, with all the people dead, you're in India. They don't have a lot of ways to keep them bodies, and so they need a lot of ways to take care of the bodies, to transport, to, you know, really get it to where there's not a lot of sickness. So
it's just totally devastating. It's so heartbreaking, gut wrenching to see them go through this.
Yeah. And yearly, you know, this is a thing they have to deal with. Now, from persecution.com, you know, the more I hear about Iraq, the more, you know, all the time there's problems over there with those. And, you know, you have a lot of, there's still radical Muslims over there. There may not be, there may not be an ISIS per se, but the people that fought with ISIS are now still over there, a lot of them, but they're fighting with another group now. Or they're with another group. And so they are making some problems over there. But again, this one talks about the Kurdistan region. Now, this is vitally important because Kurdistan, the Kurds, are the ones that helped in Iraq to deliver the Yazidis as well as Christians from ISIS. And so there is problems in these areas. And, of course, they're talking about the Assyrian Christians in the area. Of course, Iraq. You know, you can speak of Iraq, you can talk of Babylon, which is the, you know, the Assyrian. And then, of course, the Babylonian, the Chaldean. I mean, a lot of this is interspersed within this. I mean, it's a, but this is up in the north a little bit. And the land grabbing is what is a problem. And, of course, if you're a Christian at the time that ISIS came in, you would have fled. So you end up losing your land. a court, there was a court decision that, and this was in Iraq, that, excuse me, protected the rights of the Assyrian Christians here. Because the Assyrians, just like the Chaldean Christians, and you get in the Syriac church, a lot of these people have been there for a long, long time. We're not talking, they just didn't establish in the last 100 years. They've been there a long time. And so we're talking about 117 Christian families who had land. And they farmed and raised their crops and livestock. Well, a court reversed the decision to protect their land. Now, these people have a land deed, the title deed, from the 1950s, and it was updated in 2015. Now, the people themselves have been around for a long time. This is just the deed. And so, a long time ago, back in the 80s, a radical sheikh, Islamic sheikh, encouraged the Kurds to build homes and other structures on the Christians' land, which is not unheard of. I mean, when you're talking about Christians and Islam, if you're a Christian in Islam, you don't have any rights most of the time. Most of the time, you're looked upon worse than a dog. And we have a lot of Christian brothers that are treated absolutely like dogs or worse than dogs, worse than animals. And this is the way it is. And so, America, if you don't have sense enough to understand that every Muslim family that you allow in here, most of them, especially from overseas, will eventually become radicalized. Will eventually, when you get up to about 30% of the population is Muslim, then they begin to take over everything. You already have Ilhan Omar up there, and you got AOC, and you got a bunch of others, but Ilhan Omar is ready to suspend everything.
Well, look at Michigan.
Yeah.
The Muslims have really taken over Michigan, and also there's parts of New York as well.
So the bottom line of it is that when they come in and they take over, it's their land. They don't care that you've been on it for 200 years. They'll take it from you. And this is the problem you have, and it's a problem worldwide, and it'll be a problem in America as well. Whether you like it or not, whether you think this is fair or not, it doesn't matter. That's the way it is. That's the history of Islam, and that's the way they're going to be. And if you don't like it, that's tough, because there's nothing you're going to do about it. The only other way is to fight back. And so in America, somebody needs to get their head out of the nether region and find out that some of these people are deeply desirous of taking over America. Now, so when we look at in Iraq then, with all the trouble they've had, these families who had the deeds now have lost about 75% of their property, which means they have no property, and if they buy property, they got to buy it from the people who stole it from them at a high cost. Well, at any rate,
that's sad. It's just unconscionable.
Nobody really knows what they're going to do. They appealed it and they've gotten some victory, but they're still 75% of the land they can't have because the Muslims now have it. Well, you know, the problem of it is when you have ISIS coming through there and you flee, you've lost all rights to the land, including your home. I mean, this is common. This is throughout Syria. You know, there's a lot of Christians that don't have anything today because they fled, and if they had stayed, they would have been killed. Now, some of them did stay. It is really a problem and an issue. I mean, you and I live safe over here most of the time. And, you know, the bottom line of it is that we've got our own issues here, and we're not out of the woods in America at all. But you look worldwide, there's some very big problems, and there's people without homes, and there's people hurting, and there's a lot of hatred. And I can tell you the Christians get persecuted in India from the radical Hindus. They get persecuted from the Muslims by the radical Islamists. And there's not one Muslim nation where there are Christians that haven't been in some way, some shape, some form, been harassed, persecuted, or something else. That's the way it is. You know, the next story, we're talking about a Texas sanctuary safe from abortion. I seen a picture on Clout Club. And a guy went behind an abortion clinic and got the dead babies that were laying in the dumpster like trash.
That's horrible to throw them away like that.
And he took them home and washed them and prepared them for burial. See, these people don't cherish life, but I guarantee you. Now, you see, I don't call myself a watchman for nothing. And I've been doing this for over two decades for nothing. And I haven't just come around lately. We have been doing this for a very, very, very long time before this end of days ministry, which the Lord calls us to. And if you think you can kill babies and throw them in trash, and just because your law says you can do it, that you're going to be safe, you are sadly mistaken. You've got the blood of those babies on your hands. And you ain't going to wash the blood off. Okay? You can get soap, and you can get stuff, and you can wash your body and wash your clothes and take out the stench of abortion. But the stain of abortion will afflict your soul. The stain of abortion and the blood guilt associated with the murder of that baby will be on those who do it. And there's a lot of these babies' lives and babies' blood now that have been attributed not just to America, but China as well. China is even going further than that. They're selectively taking the Uyghurs' children and aborting them to get rid of the Uyghurs, the Muslims over there that they don't want around. Now, see,
how hardened. It's unbelievable how hardened their hearts are, how wicked they are.
Well, they believe in the Communist Party. You know?
But it won't work out well for them.
So in East Mountain, Texas, the town council voted that the town is a sanctuary for the unborn. And they disallowed abortion facilities from opening within its borders. The only thing I wonder is, how do they get away with that? Because, you know, people can go to the Supreme Court. It's outside of Longview, Texas, a population of under 800. And, of course, the right to life, Mark Lee Dixon said, "We are thankful for the support of the men and women of the East Mountain Baptist Church and those from throughout the city who wanted to see this ordinance pass. This could not have happened without their support." You know, it's hard to believe that they're the 14th municipality there to declare itself a sanctuary for the unborn.
That's good.
So there is some things here, you know. For instance, the cities of Omaha and Naples in Texas passed similar ordinances, but they made a note that those who illegally commit abortions in violation of the new law will not be punished until or unless Roe v. Wade is overturned. And that's true. You know, there is a law that says it's okay. And that's all there is to it. Now, the Democrats are 100% for abortion. I'm not. And Trump is one of the most pro, you know, life presidents we've ever had. But the bottom line of it is this issue really affects them. I mean, because you've got a bunch of rhino Republicans that are for Biden because they don't like Trump. Well, they didn't like him in the beginning anyway. And Trump won anyway. So there are a lot of Republicans that are closet Democrats, and there's Democrats that are closet rhino Republicans. It's not just black and white, but it really fosters when you see Susan Rice coming out today and getting mad at Pompeo for talking from Jerusalem during the RNC meeting last night and saying it's too bad that he is so over-religious. Well, you know, the Obama administration wasn't overly religious, but he had a favor towards Islamists.
He did.
And those that he allowed into the country, majority were Muslim, very few of them Christian. That's the way it was. So when we talk about this whole issue, it can be irritating because you've got a nation, and we call America one nation under God. America hasn't been one nation under God for a long time, folks. We have a lot of churches, but we got a lot of godless pastors in the process. We've got people that are lukewarm. Now, with all of this stuff happening, some of them have woken up, which is good. So at any rate, I was glad to see that. Tower is too. But that was something when I seen that guy washing that that baby, that little baby. When I first seen it, I thought, that's a baby. I didn't even, then I got a good look at it, you know, and he looks so tender in doing it.
Makes you want to cry your eyes out.
Oh, it's terrible. You know, I absolutely hate abortion.
Why do you?
I loathe it totally.
Every time I see a newborn baby or hold one, you just can feel, you can see and feel the miracle of God.
Yeah.
He's the giver of life.
That's right.
And it's precious.
And in our family, we saw some, you know, we did see newborn, didn't we?
We did.
And that really gets you when you look at the newborn and think that they've got laws in New York and they want to push other laws where you can kill a baby right up to the point of birth. That's sick.
It is. It's unconscionable. I can't wrap my head around it, why they do that.
Now, you know,
they're
that
so wicked.
That woman that talked at Trump's thing. Now, the RNC.
On Monday night? Was
yeah,
she Monday?
On abortion.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who it was.
Oh, I can't remember her name.
No. There was somebody of fame that condemned the fact that Trump put on just normal, everyday people. He didn't like that. But see, the thing of it is, that's the very reason I did like it. Now, this woman is a normal, everyday person, except she was a director of an abortion clinic, and she talked about abortion smelling. She talked about watching an abortion when they tried to do the suction on him. And as he tried to suck the baby out, the baby tried in the womb. They could see it, was trying to move away from the suction so he wouldn't die. But in the end, the baby lost.
Sad.
And so she's been changed. That woman don't like abortions, and she fights against it, and she's got an organization. Okay, enough of that.
Yeah, it makes me sad.
Oh, it is sad. But the stark reality of it is that we've got riots on the street, we got problems in America, and you say, well, you know, we need to get this fixed. You know, what's the matter? Where's the blessing of God? Well, yeah, I'll tell you where the blessing of God is. You know, when we start acting like a bunch of heathen, when we got blood on our hands, blood guilt, and we treat each other like, you know what, there's no civility, there's no mercy. There's many people that don't give mercy. And there's Muslims that came out and said this, radical Muslims. We do not give mercy to Christians. This is over where we report a lot of this stuff coming from. When you do not give mercy, you will not receive mercy from the Lord. You will go to hell. So you think of this next time you're unforgiven. Think of this next time you don't want to forgive anybody and you don't want to give out mercy. And a nation that don't have mercy, it isn't going to get any from God. And all your stubbornness and all your bull that you put out, all your lies are going to follow you right into the pit of hell. Now, are you ready on yours?
Yes.
Okay.
This story comes to us from Open Doors USA. And it's about Pastor Adane. He's a pastor in rural East Ethiopia. It's a majority Muslim community region, and he's been there the last 20 years. He's served in a church, and his church is made up of mostly believers who left Islam to follow Jesus. And the Muslim community is always at odds with the Christians, so these believers require nonstop support. And even in the COVID pandemic, quarantines, and sweeping locust plague in Ethiopia, persecutions against Christians have not stopped. They've probably increased, and it's just horrible what is going on. And it's opened the Christians, especially the converts from Islam, to even greater persecution as tribal communities exploit the pandemic to punish them for what they see as a brutal betrayal of family, tribes, and nations. And Open Doors met with Pastor Adain, and he's unassuming in appearance. He was dressed in a plaid work shirt, but his story is extraordinary. 20 years of fruitful ministry, large enough to support evangelists and pastors in the surrounding area, and he has endured 20 years of violent acts against him and his family. He's suffered severe persecution. He's been brutally attacked. He walked by a mosque one day, and there was three Muslim men that were in mass, so he couldn't identify them. They beat him so severely, kicked him in his head several times, that they damaged his ear. And the doctors told him he would never be able to hear out of it, or the damage was irreparable, so he had to get a hearing aid. And Open Doors helped him with getting a hearing aid. And the children of the men that attacked him also attacked his son at the school. And both he and his son had to go to the hospital. And the boy, I guess they shoved a pin cap down him. And the doctor said that it would pass on its own, which it did, thankfully. And his church has limitations on how they can help with this problem. Because of this, he couldn't afford to get the hearing aid or the medical help. So the Open Doors ministry team was able to intervene for them and get the medical treatment that he needed. And he says, may God bless you for all your help. And the pandemic has severely affected the church because they can't meet in the churches. And they're dependent on these tithes and offerings to support the ministers and to aid the persecuted believers who've lost their jobs and due to the coronavirus. And of course, you've got the Muslim leaders make the community disassociate from believers by ordering shop owners to refuse to sell them goods, including food and medicine. So we need to really remember to pray for these people. And you can also go to opendoors.org if you would like to help in any way with them, to help these pastors. So we hear this all the time, Dana, about this kind of stuff. Nothing is new. It's from country to country to country to country. It's Ethiopia to Nigeria, Eritrea. It's the same.
It is, you know. And, of course, one of the big accomplishments that Trump had was his team and him worked behind the scenes between Israel and the United Arab Emirates to bring a peace accord about. Well, he was asked about that time after it was made clear at one of his daily briefings if it would help struggling and persecuted Christians. He said, and I think it's going to. I think it's a big start. And he goes on to saying, you're right about that. Christians have been persecuted by some countries, in particular in the Middle East, and I think this is a big start. It's going to be a very strong start. It's going to be a very powerful start. And it's something I've told David Friedman and every one of our negotiators. If you look at the way Christians have been treated in some countries, it's beyond disgraceful.
Oh,
now, now you see, I can remember back to many, many presidents. And guess what? I don't remember one saying that Christian persecution in our day and age is disgraceful.
I don't think they even recognized it.
No. Trump is the first one. And all them rhino Republicans, you are a bunch of hypocrites and you're fools. Because your colors are showing. You're not looking at the man who is trying to do stuff. You're looking at a political agenda and bias, and it's disgusting. And this is exactly why I'm not a Republican. Now, I vote Republican. I'll also vote Democrat. I'll vote for the best man or woman. But the bottom line of it is downright disgusting what we're doing. And
yes,
at least this guy, I can tell you about President Trump. He is the most pro-life president we ever had. He's the most pro-Israel president we've ever had. He's the most pro-American president.
Yes.
He is the most pro-Christian president. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that this guy is. No thanks to you, the Republican Party, because I remember when he tried to... Remember how much they hated him and they were turning against him?
Yes, I do.
When he first came on the scene? Yeah. Yeah. I got two words for you, Republicans. Screw you and the horse you came in on. China, no Bible study. The more I read about China and the stories come over, the Communist Party made war against God. And, of course, they hurt Christians, they killed Christians, they put them in prison, they destroyed their churches, they took down their crosses all across China. And the meantime that they're doing that, they're plotting to totally destroy the Muslim population of the Uyghurs that are there, too. They're keeping a concentration camp. I don't know how many there are. I thought that one time there were close to 1 million of them. But... the Communist Party has declared war on God, and they've been doing it all along. When Mao was around, he was one of the worst. Now, he's roasting in hell. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm sure that he isn't happy where he's at.
The bottom line of it is that you wonder, why do these kind of countries continue to function when they do what they do? And they get away with it. And so, the one thing that they do is they control everybody by the local authorities, and they give out a lot of power to all the ones in every little city. So you have people in neighborhoods, you have people in the cities, and they all are looking over their shoulders to see who is not obeying. Now, of course, this particular guy got in trouble. And he happened to be holding a Bible study online and was found out about. So they got all mad and they fined him. The amount of fine is about a little under $3,000 for trying to teach Bible.
Good grief.
Yeah. I mean, this is the new China, and this is the China that Pelosi stepped up and used it as an example of a fine country. Well, if you're an atheist, if you're an agnostic, if you're a communist, yeah, China's a good example for you. But if you happen to be a constitutional republic, which we used to be, but we're no more, it is not a fine place. But see, Pelosi, because of her nearsightedness, her immoral ways, decided that she would use that example just because she hated Trump. Because the one thing they found out is that Trump fights back. That's why even the Republicans don't like him, because he ran over them.
Yeah. Good for him. That's what I think.
So then we got another one. We got Iran. But in this particular one, an Iranian Christian convert was released from prison after completing a 24-month sentence. He, and this is the thing they do a lot. They get him for acting against national security. That's just one of the charges. And the other one is promoting Zionist Christianity. Now, he completed 2 years. And, of course, they always use that against national security. You thought he tried to kill somebody or something. But you see, the thing about Iran is losing the battle against Christianity, because there's more Christians every day over there.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, yeah. I'm all for that. You know, while America's falling away, we're seeing around the world people who are actually the enemies of God are coming to Him. You know, you and I have been following the UK as well for a long time. The UK's had problems in the Christian faith field for many, many years, going back even further than the 90s. A Christian minister received death threats, and its accounts were taken down after a mob rule campaign by an LGBTQ activist. Because they accused it of conversion therapy. Now, this particular is Core Issues Trust. Now, they support men and women who voluntarily seek change in sexual preference expression. Now, this is a Christian ministry. Now, I don't know all the stuff they do, but you're going to find out that we love this changing the sexes. We're not satisfied with what God created. And of course, most of the problem is something called a demon. So they lost a lot of their stuff because it was taken away from them. This is the way it works today. This is the way it's going to work with you at home when they get the digital currency. Now, they talk about, you know, they've got the one world currency. Folks, the one world currency has been here for a lot of years. It's getting perfected. There's no such thing as a new currency. The currency, you don't need a stinking one world currency. You already got it. It's called digital. And it's online, and they control everything, and they can take your money away from your account in just a second. Remember the old days when you used a credit card tower, and it took a while?
Yeah.
Wasn't it like 3 days or something?
Oh, something like that.
Now it does it. I mean,
it's instantly.
Yeah. Even when we're getting money to some of the ministries that we do, and they're overseas or something, I mean, they get it to them right away.
Yeah, it's instant.
And so this poor guy, receiving death threats, and they accuse him of conversion therapy, in other words, either trying to get him out of it or get him back to the way they were. Now, see, a lot of the LGBTQ activists linked it to extreme therapies like electroshock and corrective rape. Now, I don't know about that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that didn't sound like a very good practice.
No.
I don't blame them for being against it, but electroshock? Yeah, I know about electroshock. I know of someone who had it. They're dead and gone now.
That was a horrible thing.
But what people do in the medical field to try to get you straightened out is a crime. So So at any rate, they're saying that it'll be the churches next. I mean, it's always going to be the churches next. I mean, none of this surprises me. Tower and I have been talking about this stuff forever, haven't we?
Well, we have.
I mean, and we've covered every scenario.
Over 40 years.
Yeah. You bet, 40 years. That would be easy. Because years and years ago, we were covering, preparing for this time, weren't we, Tower?
Yes, it's been a long time.
And we covered just about every aspect that you could think of. In my book, D-Day for America, one of the things I covered that I called a giant in the world that you would have trouble getting rid of is the LGBTQ and the whole homosexual lesbian issue. It just won't go away. That book's no longer in print, but the original, it's the first one I wrote, D-Day for America. But at any rate, the second one I wrote, actually, I wrote it before we even got to the way it is today, and you can really find in my book, you can look ahead and see the same thing is happening in America today. You can break it down the same way. So we are coming down. Are you ready? This is out of Pakistan again.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
This happened on June 21st. The police broke into the home of Yanis at 1 a.m. in the morning, and they accused him of dealing drugs. It was false charges, and they could find no evidence, and he had no previous history of crime. And the police shouted insults and tortured Yanis and his sons to tell police where the drugs were hidden. After being tortured and forced to watch his sons be falsely arrested, Yanis felt a sharp pain in his chest and passed away that night. And the police began searching the house for drugs or any substance-related paraphernalia. They threw furniture around, emptied drawers. They were interrogating the members of the family. They presented false allegations trying to scare Yanis' son, Waqar, from testifying against Shazib Jutt. And this man was under investigation for the murder of Yanis' nephew. And they were trying to stop them from testifying against him. And the police were brutal. They treated them inhumanely. They cursed, shouted out insults while slapping and punching and pushing them around. And they tried to bribe the boys to admit the drug dealing. After the news of Yanis' death reached the police station, they immediately released the two sons. And one of the sons said, "When the news of my father's death spread through the jail, the police panicked and released us immediately. They did not confirm whether or not my father was alive or dead. We prayed all night, hoping that the rumors of Dad's death were false. My world shattered when we received confirmation of his death in the morning." And the family registered a first incident report, but they later withdrew it because they knew full well that there was no hope for justice in Pakistan. And the Shazib Jutt's case is still open, and there is no guarantee that he will be convicted of murder, and he continues to threaten the family. This is horrible what they're doing.
You know, and we, how many times have we heard that? So many times. And that's why we're glad to have Trump focus on these issues.
Yeah, well, he met with the Prime Minister of Pakistan or whatever he is.
Yeah, he did.
To try and get some of this changed in Pakistan.
And I know it's hard to turn it. And with Asia Bibi, we actually saw some good come out of it.
That's
so
right.
We continue to pray that it'll change. Now, here's another one. Now, you remember the blast not too long ago in Beirut?
Right, in Lebanon, yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, Franklin Graham has contacts there and pastors that he knows. I mean,
really?
This guy has contacts all over the world.
That's cool.
But a CBN article talks about this Lebanese pastor, Pastor Saeed Deep. He has the Life Center Church there in Beirut. Now, the same day of the massive explosion, a strange feeling came over him. And this is before it ever happened. And he prayed with his staff, and he didn't get a breakthrough, and he couldn't shake the feeling that something bad was going to happen. He says, I don't know why I was so rude. I told everyone, go home, just close the center. But people said, how come? We came a long way. We have commitments. We have meetings. I said, I don't know why, but please go home and come back on Sunday. It was a Tuesday afternoon. He sent his entire staff of 34 people home, canceled all children's Bibles classes after sensing something terrible was going to happen. He said it was as if the Holy Spirit was saying, go, 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 go. So I was saying, everybody, go home. Turn off the computers, forcing them to leave. I was forcing them, and they said, we are cooking food for the refugees and for the poor. And I said, today, cancel everything, put it in the fridge. And they were thinking, I lost my mind, but they didn't know. I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit's prompting. Now, the church sat only 1 mile from the explosion.
Wow.
And when the blast went off, it blew the windows and the doors out, and it would have taken lives. More than 200 people lost their lives. But see, the thing of it is, the church is coming together more than ever now.
Yeah, that's exciting.
And the church is helping out. You know, this is so emotional. You see, folks, I absolutely believe if we're in the center of God's will and we are seeking Him, and like in John 15, we are abiding in Him, that when dangerous things happen, the Spirit of God will tell you to get out.
That's right.
Did we not do a story of that flood where
last week
God said, get out.
Now.
Now. Folks, you are living in perilous times. And before you go wandering downtown, before you go into dangerous areas, you need to think. You need to seek the Lord. You need to make sure you're connected to Him. Because I'm telling you today, without God, you're going to die. Period. Without the Lord. And with the Lord, I firmly believe that He can give us deliverance. He will tell you ahead of time. And I know from testimonies, personal testimonies told to me about God's deliverance and warning. So pay attention. We report on this stuff every week. We've been doing this for over 2 decades. And before that, we tracked it. Folks, pay attention. Thank God this guy paid attention.
Yes, amen.
In America, I'm not so sure we would have closed the church, because after all, in America, we don't have these issues. But folks, the time is coming. I have warned the American church for many, many, many years. And I'm going to tell you, it's time to draw nigh to the Lord. Because without Him, you can do nothing. I don't know. This rings very, very close to home for me. I really believe this tower.
Oh, I do too.
And we used to talk about this. We used to talk about the fact if there was a flood, we could march around, you know, a house, and we could believe God. We could command the waters to go somewhere else. You can pray against the storms. You can do a lot of things. But there's action, there's faith, there's belief. But if you don't believe God will ever deliver you, how are you going to believe God at all for anything? If you believe him that he is going to save you from your miserable sins, and our sins are miserable.
Boy, they are.
Then understand this. Do you think he cannot deliver you from physical dangers? But many times we go ahead foolishly into an area we should never go. You see, Jesus didn't go everywhere. He avoided the areas, especially, I mean, you can read it in Scripture where he says he did not go there. He did not walk in Jewry because they were so against it. It's time to understand. He even told his disciples, if they persecute you in this area, go to another area. You know, there is a way to do this, and it's smart. It's in the Spirit. It's seeking the Lord. It's understanding. And I expect God to tell us if there's something coming, something's really dangerous, and we're here, I expect the Lord to tell us.
Amen.
I expect him to shake the trailer, you know, tell me to get out. And we've seen this time and time again, folks. And it's an amazing thing. Well, we're coming down to the end. But that was a good story. We've had some dynamite examples here.
Amen. God is good and he's on the throne. He's always good. He's always amazing.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. He is on the throne. You know, just because you have a bunch of punks tearing apart America and the Democratic governors don't want to do anything, and just because you have George Soros with billions of dollars trying to destroy America and other countries, doesn't mean God can't do what he wants to do.
Amen.
God is unaffected by your stinking money. He is unaffected by your rebellious nature. You want to persist in it, or your sinful nature, or your bloody nature, your wicked nature, or even your holy nature. Now, your holy nature, the nature to seek God, he is affected with that because he wants to be with you. He wants to have that fellowship with you. He loved you so much, he gave his son to die on the cross for you. Now, Jesus went to his own, and they never received him, but as many as did receive him, that is, believe upon him, received him in, followed him, did what he said, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, John 1. John 3, be born again to the Spirit. 1 John 1, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. In Romans 3-7, you can read about confession of sin. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. There is a confession. There is a repentance. There's born again of the Spirit. Get into the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Get yourself straight with God through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
And with that, we're going to have to get out of here.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Thank you for coming and listening. We appreciate it. We love you. We care about you. And please, if you have any prayer requests, send them in to us on the contact page at warn-usa.com. We love hearing from you, and we take your prayers seriously before the Lord. May God richly bless you and have a good night. Good night, everybody.
Don't forget to go by warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Listen to the shows, read the articles, pass them on. Help us to get these articles out. Help us to get the shows out into the hands of people. Help us to get this word out so we can see people affected, people saved, people come to know the Lord, and get also the awareness of the persecuted church and those who are willing to help their brethren in Christ. This is the Watchman. Shalom, everybody. God bless and have a good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.